Father God, we welcome you here today, Lord. We're so grateful to be here. Lord, we're so blessed by our church family. Lord, all that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds now, that we would be so focused on hearing from you, Lord, that you'd speak to each and every one of us personally here today. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this past week, I asked all of you to not murmur or complain, but to give thanks in everything. And I wonder how your week went. It's funny how I knew it for myself that when I give challenges and when I talk about things, I said some stuff Sunday night about things God was doing in my life and then challenging us to be thankful. And all that, I knew I was going to have a rough week because it seems like every time that I ask you guys to do something and I'm challenging myself, Satan just hits me harder. And he hit me hard this week in different areas and it wasn't always a success. But I tried to keep going. And I wonder how you guys did this week with your thankful hearts. What I've found a lot of people saying, and what I've observed in my own life was that I could speak it, but a lot of times what I was speaking wasn't really coming from the heart, I'm thankful for this, but I really wasn't, I'm really struggling with this, and trying to work through it, but it really wasn't coming from my heart. It was more of, this was a challenge, so I'm just going to say it. But my heart wasn't necessarily right. In 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So outwardly, you may have done good this week. You may have been like not complaining, not murmuring, giving thanks. But inwardly, were you stirred up? Inwardly, were you still complaining? Were you still ungrateful? Were you still mad about this or mad about that or offended by this or offended by that? I mean, really, how was your heart this week? Because that's the main goal for each one of us. This past week, you can speak to thanksgiving. But where I'd really like for you to get this week is it to be a genuine from your heart change. Because we can say all the right words, we can even act the right way, but our heart can be far from God. And see, that's where God says, you look at the outward. All of you look pretty good today. Y'all look pretty happy. Y'all look like you ate well and you had a good Thanksgiving and I'm glad y'all are here, but what's really going on the inside? Where's your heart really at? Are you murmuring? Are you complaining that you're here this morning? Is your heart far from God this morning? Are you out in the deer woods this morning? Are you at work this morning? Are you at home already taking your nap this morning? I mean, where's your heart at? Because that's where God is looking at each one of us this morning, is where is our heart at? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So there's two things there that I want to focus on for just a minute. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, when God called you, when you repented of your sins, when you asked Jesus Christ to become your Savior, now you have become a royal priesthood. That's something, y'all, and that's what we are supposed to be, that we are a chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And then it says that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. And so you think about that with your thanksgiving. then we should be grateful, we should be thankful, and it should be truly from the heart of all God has done for us, that we're declaring praises of what God has done. But not the murmuring, not the complaining. Is that really representing Christ? And then it goes on to say, who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And as I read that, I thought, excuse me, do you really feel like you're living in His wonderful light? See, He called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. And I thought, how many people are truly walking around that say they're Christians that's living in God's wonderful light? How many of us are truly living that each and every day? I think so often the murmuring, the complaining, the worries and the cares of this life drag us down so much that that's what we're focused on instead of being focused on that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into His wonderful light, that if we would get that in our minds, that now that we're new creations, we're not who we used to be. Into His wonderful light. And I think, how many Christians do I know that's walking around full of wonderful light? Are you guys full of wonderful light this morning? Let's go back to Haggai, if you guys want to open your Bibles there. Haggai 1, verse 3 is where we're going to begin. And I was struggling with what to preach on, where to go this week, and this just kind of where God led me to, and so I believe this will all tie in together. Haggai 1:3, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin?" Y'all, when I'm reading this, I want you to think about that we are the temple of God now. Okay. And so as we're reading this, you think about this in these words. "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew. And the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, on the labor of your hands." Okay, so what's taking place here is that they were trying to take care of their needs, their wants, their desires, instead of taking care of God's house. And I think that is so true for many of us today. I think the reason why we're not living and walking in His wonderful light is because we're taking care of worldly things, the outward things, instead of building the house, building the temple, which is inwardly, and taking care of that. Does that make sense this morning? Do any of you feel like you work hard, but you never have anything to show? You're hungry, but you're never satisfied? That all these things, these wages that you're earning, it just is like putting in a purse with holes in it, and you're never satisfied, you never have what you want, and you're always striving and striving for more, but there's never contentment, there's never joy, there's never peace. And then you go back to the murmuring and complaining and all that we can speak it, but our hearts really aren't saying it. Is this making sense to anybody at all this morning? We're the temple of God now. And see, I think what's happened to so many of us, me included, is I work so hard for the things of the world instead of the things of God. And then I'm never satisfied. I never feel contentment. I never feel that true joy. I never feel that true peace. because I've been busy working on things of the world that I think will satisfy. Y'all, the things that he's talking about here, it describes America today. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but they're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in them. And I think about that. That's our society today. People that were just striving for more and more and more. I'm just as guilty as anyone else of more and more and more, instead of just being satisfied and seeking the Lord in the things of God. I'm not always walking in His wonderful light because I'm busy being about my business and in the business of what I think will be my pleasures instead of about God's business. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." See, where this and Haggai is talking about an actual temple, okay? But now we are the temple of God. And we were bought with a price. And so, are we taking care of the temple? Are we truly taking care of the temple? Where do we take the temple of God? Do we take Him to movies that we shouldn't be watching? Do we take Him to activities that we shouldn't be involved with? Are we taking and putting things into us that shouldn't be there? Where's our minds at? Where's our hearts at? Is it on the things of God? See, it's not. We can come here, and I'm thankful for all you that work and help and keep this church up, and we're always, seems like there's always something to do here, but I'm so grateful God's blessed us with this nice building that we can come and sit in and be warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and we got carpet and we got lights and we can be comfortable. We got comfortable pews. I'm thankful for this, but this isn't the church. We are, and we are the temple now, and we can come up here and we can paint and put on a new coat of paint and patch holes and cracks and get frustrated because the holes and cracks come right back but that's not the church. We're the church. And what this is talking about here, when God's saying, take care of the temple, it's us, y'all. Are we taking care of us? Are we taking care of the things of God? I challenge you this week to be thankful, to talk about being thankful. But was it just lip service, or was it truly from your heart? I shared with them in Sunday school how Wednesday I was so stressed and I was trying to hurry and get off work, and we'd bought Razorback tickets and I was trying to hurry, and I was stressed and worried all day, and I kept fighting it, going, "Lord, thank you, and I know you got a plan, and I know you got..." And God did work it out. So I stressed and worried instead of being thankful all day for no reason. God had taken care of it. But it was a battle on the inside when I was saying, "But God, I thank you." I really didn't mean it. I'm just being honest. I was just speaking it. I was frustrated because we were so busy. I was frustrated. But now I'm the temple of God. Do I trust that God's going to take care of me? Do I trust that God is looking down from heaven? Have I been spending more time on the things of this world instead of the things of God? Is my temple walls caving in? Are they breaking down on the inside? See, we can look all beautiful on the outside, but inside, are we dirty and nasty and corrupt and y'all, I've been around some church folks that say some of the meanest and ugliest things. Is that truly being a temple of God? Is that displaying God? And church folks, and when I mean church folks, and me included, and the things that we're chasing after, and the things that we think are bringing us pleasure, and then we're just chasing and chasing and chasing after more and more and more of most stuff that we won't even remember. 2 Kings 20, verse 1 says, "And In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover." And you guys, I'm not saying you're going to die this morning. But the reason why I read that verse, because it so spoke to me of put your house in order. See, we're the temple of God now. We need to put our house in order. Is our house in order? Is our house in order on the inside? We are the temple. We're a royal priesthood. So let me ask you, is your house in order today? Okay, if you guys had company for Thanksgiving, did y'all clean the house? Did you get it all nice and neat and prepared and everything? We went to Crystal's aunt and uncle's last night, and her uncle was teasing about, "Look at how clean these floors are. You know who mopped them? Me." And I even vacuumed, and he was just teasing. Why? Because he was having company over. Madeline gets after me sometimes because I'm that way, and she's like, "Oh, we don't want people to think we live here because I want it so clean and so neat, you know." And it's like, I'm a nut about that. I am. I can't help it. I want things. And it's like, why? What's the point? We'll clean the house 5 minutes after we have company. You can't even tell. There's spilt food. There's dirt off shoes. There's coats and stuff everywhere. Why did we just spend all that time cleaning? It's just getting messed up again. But it's sad that some of us will spend more time cleaning our house than we will cleaning our spirit. And what I mean by that is the washing of the Word. Right? We need the Word of God in our life to wash us clean. We'll spend more time weeding the flower beds and mowing and trimming the hedges and then coming inside and dusting everything and making everything look just right. When what happens? It just gets messy again. Right? It just gets messy again. And you know what? Sometimes in my life, I got to be honest, it just gets messy again. Do you know why it's getting messy again? It's because I'm thinking about the things of the world. Because I'm feeding on the things of the world. Because I'm going back to what we just read in Haggai about the purses with holes and chasing after all these things. Y'all, it's time that we put our house in order. You know, I talked about at the beginning of this year that this being one of the greatest years ever for us. And that it could be the greatest year ever for us. And the only way it's going to be great is if we put our house in order and we seek God and we take care of the temple. We take care of what God has blessed us with. Luke 11:17 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall." And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, are we divided in loving the world and loving God and going back and forth and back and forth of loving the world and loving God and going back and forth with the things of the world and then the things of God? And it does seem like it's a constant struggle. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world." I mean, let's think about it. Most of the things that we work so hard for, it's the cravings of the sinful man. The lust of the eyes, it's what we see. It's what we desire. It's what we want. 2 years ago, you bought a new truck, and it was the latest thing with the coolest gadgets and all this. Now they've come out with a new body style and your truck looks old and you want a new one. You know, you built that new house and then all at once, 4, 5, 10 years down the road, it's out of style. You need new carpet. You need new paint. You need, why? Our clothes. Some of y'all might know, I wear a lot of the same clothes. Why? Because I'm lazy. And I don't want to go shopping because nothing ever fits right and looks right. But I see clothes and I see things and I want them and I desire them and I want this and I want that. And we went shopping Friday, and it's funny because if I was rich, I'd be in trouble because I'd have bought all kinds of stuff just because it's good deals and I want it. Do I need it? No, but I want it. The cravings of the flesh. The cravings of the world. The world and its desires will pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. That was the end of 1 John. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want you to think about it this way. What did you want last year for Christmas? Do you remember? What about 2 Christmases ago? 3 Christmases ago? Do you remember that thing that you just had to have that you wanted so much? No, you forget. Why? Because the cravings of this world are passing away. There's always some new gadget. There's always some new thing. Me and Crystal were talking about how we'd really like a smart TV. But there's nothing wrong with the TV that we got. So we hadn't bought a new one yet. But the smart TV has all these things and you can do all this with it. But there's nothing wrong with our TV, so I can't justify going and buying a smart TV just because I want it. But I better be careful or you know what? I'll be buying a smart TV because there's such a good deal on them. It's the cravings of the flesh. It's the things that we desire. And there's always something. Is anybody getting this morning? Is there not always something new? There's something better. There's a new style. There's a new change. Some of my clothes are so old, they come back in style, you know. So I'm good with that. I can wear them again and not look goofy, okay? And that's the way it is. You know, something from 5, 10, 15 years ago and it's coming back in style. Now, I'm not going to wear bell bottoms. I don't care if they come back in style or not. I'm not going to wear bell bottoms. But you know what? It wasn't too many years ago. The bell bottoms were kind of back in style for a little while. That stuff comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. In Luke 11:24, it says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through a ride, places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes in and takes 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. What does that have to do with anything, Pete? We're the temple. The blood of Jesus has washed us clean. When you asked Jesus to become your personal Savior, when you repented of your sins and you gave Jesus your life, He washed you clean. The blood of Jesus washed you clean. But church, we have to be careful because what happened? That evil spirit come out and it left. But when it come back, it found the house swept clean and he brought his friends and the person was worse off than he was from the beginning. Y'all, if we don't have our house in order, if we're not guarding this temple, then what's going to happen is if we're feeding on this world and the things of this world and that is our desires, we're going to be worse off than we ever was before because that's going to come in and find the house swept clean. So what do you do? The house can be swept clean, but then it needs to be filled with the things of God. That's what we need to be feeding on. We need to be making sure our house is in order, making sure that God's temple is being taken care of by filling ourselves with the Word of God, by filling ourselves with the praise and worship of God, by filling ourselves with prayer, by filling ourselves with God, because when we're filling ourselves with the world, then it's corrupting us and it's destroying us. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? If you are the temple of God, if I am the temple of God, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and walking full of the Spirit, and then who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light, will truly feel His wonderful light each and every moment of each and every day, guiding and directing us. Philippians 4:8, last verse here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I told y'all, and I challenged y'all this week, to be thankful. For it to not just be words that you're speaking, but it truly be coming from your heart. See, these are the things that we need to be thinking about. These are the things that we need to be meditating on. Not about how much we hate our boss. Not about how much someone's made us mad. Not about how the traffic is. Not about the policeman sitting there radaring. Anybody gripe about that? Y'all, we need to be thinking about the things that are true, the things that are noble, the things that are right, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Y'all, the blood of Jesus has washed each one of you clean. And maybe you haven't been walking in His wonderful light. Maybe you hadn't been taking care of the temple. You know what? Right now, you can ask God to forgive you. You can ask God right now. You can repent. I pray the Holy Spirit speaking to each one of you this morning. And maybe there's some things in your house that you need to get in order. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. It can be done. You can be washed clean. You can have the temple swept clean once again. But then let's not neglect it. You know what? It's a funny thing when you neglect something. Even just something can be sitting and it can get dust and dirt and begin to rust and begin to fade. I remember it's been 20 years ago, I saw a special where these antique car collectors would take these cars, but you just couldn't put them in storage. Because if you just put them in storage, they'll rust and they'll fade. And it was crazy what they were millionaires. And they would take apart the engines and pack them in grease and different things like that. And then they put them in these bags. It looked like giant grocery bags, and they would vacuum seal them. You couldn't even see the cars. They would vacuum seal them to keep any air or anything out to keep the cars pure. Why? So you can die and then the next generation can see this car and unstack it and look at it? I mean, that's crazy to me. But that's how careful we are with things that we value. That these millionaires valued. They were so careful with it that they didn't want it to rust. They didn't want it to fade. What I'm saying is, y'all, if we neglect the temple, and even just that is, we know, God, we love you, but we're neglecting the temple, it's going to begin to fade. It's going to begin to rust, and it's going to begin to cave in a little bit. Y'all, when I'm out delivering and all the time I'll see these great big, beautiful homes at one time and even these little small homes. I can think of three different houses that come to my mind right now. And the porches are falling in and one of them, the whole roof caved in, half the roof caved in. And you could tell at one time that they were beautiful homes. But nobody lives there anymore. And it's over time, the rain and the wind and the weather has destroyed them because nobody took care of it. Now, God's looking at our hearts this morning. And I hope you guys had a great week. I hope you guys did better than I did at the challenge. I really mean that. But I really feel like for us to begin to walk in His wonderful light, that this morning we need to examine our temple. Not mine, not your husband, not your wife, not your mom, not your dad, not the people sitting around you, but examine your temple. Have you been neglecting it? Have you been letting things go? Are you bringing in garbage? You know, I've used this before, and I'll use it again. But you get a new car, and what do? You you pick up your trash and you clean it up and you watch over it and you protect it for the first week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe the first month, but then that new car smell begins to fade. And before long, what happens? The McDonald's wrappers are in the floorboard and the bird droppings on it. You don't take it right to the car wash to clean it. And then all at once, it's just become a mess because it's lost its value. You're not taking care of it. Y'all, don't let the gift that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for lose its value. Value it. Value that now that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us. In us. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts, examine our lives right now, Lord. And have we been neglecting the temple? Have we been allowing garbage in? Have we been feeding on the things of this world? Has it become a divided house where we're going back and forth between the world and the things of the kingdom? Father, I pray right now that we would repent of that, that we would ask for Your help, that we would ask for Your guidance, that we would ask for Your strength, Lord, that we would begin to clean house. Lord, that we would begin to look at the garbage in our lives and know that it needs to be taken out. Father, may You have Your way in each and every life in this room, that You would have Your way, that You would clean the temple once again, Lord, and that we would understand that as You've made the provision, that Your blood has made the provision for the forgiveness of sins, Lord, but that we would not neglect that, that we wouldn't take it for granted, and that we would begin to fill the temple, we would begin to fill our lives with the things that matter to You, with prayer, with the Word, with obedience, of following Your Holy Spirit. Father, that our heart's desire would be to serve You, and that we would begin to walk in that wonderful light, that wonderful joy that only You can provide. May it not just be lip service anymore, but may it be our lives changed and transformed. May we truly be thankful throughout this coming weeks, the coming years, for all that You've done for us. Father, have Your way now. Speak to each and every one of us this morning in Jesus' mighty name.